Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode number 84. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. Thanks again for joining me this week. If you haven't listened to any previous episodes, you can check out all the episodes of the MRP Tech Podcast over at podnuts.com. Podnuts is the tech podcast network, and proud to be a part of that network. Go check out that website and all the other great shows on that network, and give some of them a listen as well. This week, I'd like to start off with some listener feedback. And this feedback comes from in response to last week's episode regarding number stations. That was the theme for last week. But at the beginning of last week's show, I was kind of griping a little bit on YouTube. And this message comes from Ivor, I believe his name is. And he says, "Sorry to hear about your difficulties with YouTube. There is a flip side, though, as it indicates there's trying to do something about the ton of absolute garbage that comes from videos that are uploaded and get clicks and views and therefore ad revenue. Things have been ruined, and now all the genuine content providers like you who are struggling to get any kind of revenue from their interests." So I definitely agree that that there is a plus side to the whole issue and ordeal with YouTube. If you didn't listen to the show last week, I mentioned that I got an email notification saying that I could no longer monetize YouTube videos because I either didn't have enough hours of watch time or I didn't have enough subscribers. I had plenty hours of watch time. The subscriber thing on my YouTube channel, I don't have the 1,000 subscribers on the YouTube channel in order to meet those notifications. So I was complaining a little bit last week about that, and I definitely get it. There's a lot of garbage that gets put on YouTube, and I can see why they're trying to do that. And I should have mentioned that in last week's episode. I did not mention that. There are plus sides of it as well. Oddly enough, the most ridiculous thing about it for me is after I published last week's episode, I went home from my office at school. I went home, and sitting on my kitchen table was an envelope from Google AdSense saying, "Here's your PIN number. We want to pay you finally after 2 years, the $10 that you've earned over 2 years. So, hey, I just got to put that PIN number in, and I've finally made $10 from YouTube over the last 2 years. So, I'm not getting rich by this by any means, but I thought it was so strangely odd at the same time that I was told that I could no longer monetize, that I hit that mark where I could actually get paid for it. Just a strange coincidence at that. So, I was a little frustrated at YouTube, and thanks for the message. I definitely get it. I definitely understand that there are some things that they're trying to do that they're trying to filter out all of those YouTube videos that are just a collection of cesspool type materials that nobody really needs, and they are taking away revenues from people who are trying to provide genuine content. So I get that. And if you're listening, you want to help me out and you help me get to that $1,000. If you want to help me get to that 1,000 subscriber mark on YouTube, just go check out the MRP Tech Reviews channel. You can listen to all the podcasts. You can listen to and watch some videos that I post from time to time. And once in a while, when I get up the nerve, I actually do a live stream on there as well. So I definitely appreciate that message, and I haven't responded to it yet on the YouTube channel, but I will just after I record this the podcast. Okay, next up, again, a little bit more listener feedback. This message comes from JT, who emailed way back in episode 35 of the MRP Tech Podcast, and he had a few questions for me. And he says, "Do you have any tips or resources for better understanding copyrights and royalties? For example, collaborating with others and submitting for copyright registration, getting paid for music someone else sells." I do have some resources for you, and I'll send you those links, JT. But here is kind of the general idea. And a lot of people get mixed up in copyright law because it's deeply, deeply convoluted. And it is confusing. And I'm not sure there's one person out there who really has a full idea of how the copyright laws work, because there is a lot of gray area. And so copyright laws are meant to protect creators. That was the original inception for it. So I tell my students that, you know, if Jimmy created a $5 million painting in the art room, and then he shared that work with his best friend, Scott, and Scott went and made that same exact artwork and made 40 copies of them, then Jimmy loses $35 million because of that artwork being literally stolen and replicated. And a lot of people get that. So authors can own their rights to their own compositions or creations. And that is genuinely what the copyright laws are supposed to protect. However, copyright laws are also protecting recording companies and production companies. And now with recording, well, it's always been recording companies make the majority of the money and the artist gets paid almost nothing. So their composition or creation can be copyrighted for many years, onwards, upwards from 75 years to now 95 years, because the average human life is expanding. And so the copyright laws are entitled for 75 years, and they can be passed on from generation to generation. So for instance, there are people out there who own the copyright materials to the Beatles archives or even older music, and it gets passed down and it can be inherited as well. So just a few general things about music wise. And usually this blows my students' mind when I talk about them. So number one, you cannot reproduce the music or the lyrics of a copyrighted material without permission. You cannot display lyrics on a movie screen. You cannot take a song and play it in public. So you cannot take the music and you cannot distribute the music or the lyrics for free, for no profit, or for profit. So you cannot take copies of music and give them out for free if it's a copyrighted work. The idea is they should go and buy it themselves. The other thing is you can't just pass out song lyrics and for free. Those are copyrighted works. You cannot perform music or the lyrics to music in public. So you can't go downtown with a giant PA system and blast your music in public. You need a license to do that, and you need permission to do that, and you probably need to pay some royalties of some kind in order to be able to do that. A lot of people don't realize this when they're holding public events in you know, farmers markets, that type of thing, and they're playing music in public. You cannot do that, even if you own the CD. So you can't play that recording in public. And you can't create something on your own, a derivative work of a copyrighted work or an arrangement, and you can't use it in public work. So you can make a derivative work as kind of an experiment, but you cannot perform that work in public without any royalties being played. Now, most venues, bars, schools, theaters, they play royalties and license agreements to recording companies, and that's how you can get those you know, cover bands to play and that type of thing. So as I mentioned, copyrights last about 75 years. After 75 years, it becomes what's called public domain. Anybody can use it. I believe things like the original version of America the Beautiful are in public domain at this point in time. I could be wrong on that. But basically, after 75 years, if it's not renewed, it goes into public domain. The gray area here is the fair use policy. And many people claim fair use, but it's not really fair use. So in certain circumstances, some copyrighted items can be used in certain settings. One example of that would be nonprofit educational use. For instance, I have a group of fourth grade students, and I will hand them music, freshly printed music from the recording company. And I will hand them the music, and I will have them put it into their folder before they leave my room. And they will walk out the door into my hallway, and that music vanishes. It's gone. It disappears. It must spontaneously combust in their folders by the time they walk from my room to their elementary classroom. It's gone, and it's not coming back. So what I can do as a music teacher is I can create copies on a limited basis for a performance. And when I make those copies that are of a copyrighted elementary band work, I have to destroy those copies after the concert is over. So it's a fair use policy for certain flexibilities in the copyright laws for educational purposes. Now, there are some really strict laws that are out there. If you've ever seen the FBI warning on a DVD player or a DVD, that type of thing, there are heavy fines. You can spend 6 months to 3 years in prison for it. We've all heard the story of the woman in Wisconsin or Minnesota, something like that, where she downloaded 222 songs, lied about it, saying it was her kids that did it and it wasn't her. It was proven that it was her. She was given the maximum fine for every song. So she was fined $222,000 for every total for $1,000 per song that she downloaded. So that's just a rough example of some of the things with copyright and music. Okay, the idea here is you cannot take someone else's music and you cannot copy it, change it, pass it out without permission. So if you are recording, mixing, remixing someone else's work, you need to contact the recording company. You need to fill out any paperwork that they have regarding permission or royalties and make sure you have that letter of permission from them before you publish your work and give it out, even if it's for free. That is the kind of standard issue here. To give you an example of that, the theme from this show, which I really liked, and a little backstory here is I used to play in a jam band a long time ago, and I really enjoyed playing in that group. That group allowed me to be more creative spontaneously creating music on the spot, improvising music than I have ever had before. And it was a very fun group to play in. And when I picked the theme from this for this podcast, I wanted something to sort of be able to reminisce on my playing in the jam band days. And so that's why I used to play a little bit of keyboard and piano at the same time. Not at the same time. I would bring both my keyboard and my trumpet for these performances. And so I'd play a little bit of both. And so the when I first got this song for the theme for this show, I had to purchase a license for it, saying I could reuse it for a certain amount of listenership. I believe it was 100,000 listeners or something for the basic license, and another license I had to pay more if I wanted to get even more than that. So my listenership isn't 100,000, I can tell you that. I did pay for a license to be used, and I have that copy of license. And one time as I was uploading the video to YouTube, I got a copyright flag put on it. And it said, you need to take this video down because the music is copyrighted. I did protest it. I submitted my license, and the flag was taken down because I was in the right at that point in time. I haven't had that issue since, and I think they may have marked my account so that doesn't happen again. So that in one sense sort of saved me just having that license ready to go. So to make sure that things are done the right way, always make sure you get permission, and never download music from sources that you're getting it for free. Number one, you're not supporting your artist, unless you're doing something like Creative Commons, where there's music that's published for Creative Commons. Now, I'm not going to get into whether that's right or whether that's wrong. You know, some people will argue that you can give music away, they'll go buy more music, and that's been proven over and over and over again. That's not what the debate I'm getting into. What I'm just talking about is copyright laws specifically. So JT, that is some of the resources. As far as getting something copyrighted, it's just an application. I think there's a small fee involved. You can get something registered. And the layman's way to copyright something that is not officially copyright, but a way to protect yourself is if you create something, put it in an envelope and mail it to yourself and do not open it. And what that does is that has the date marked on there of when you created your work, and it is sealed so that, you know, if somebody else creates the same exact thing after you, that will be upheld in some court settings for you creating it first, and that's your proof that you created it first. So you can copy, sort of not really copyright it, but you can have proof that you created something before someone else did. So that's what it is. As far as getting paid for music someone else sells, that is a fine line that I don't think you should really do other than getting permission again. JT also wrote to me. He asked, if you don't remember JT, last time I did this show way back in episode 35, I actually mispronounced his website. His website, golivelively.com. And he does a lot of tech stuff. He was into some music stuff and even some workout things at one point in time. And so he does a lot of creating similar to myself. And so it's good to hear from him again. I'm glad he sent me an email. So he likes to share a lot of his resources. So go check out his website, golivelively.com. And lastly, JT, what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to put some links in the show notes to some copyright information, the actual copyright laws themselves. And, you know, by no means am I a lawyer. And like I said, there is a lot of gray area when it comes to this stuff. Okay. There's a fine line between playing music for personal enjoyment and playing music in public, as well as music and education as well. So really, really take a look at some of those things and know your fair use policy inside and out. We've all seen the YouTube videos where somebody posted and the black screen shows up saying this video has been removed due to copyright violations. My favorite thing to see is videos posted on YouTube, and in the description it says no copyright violation intended. I do not own this work. Yeah, you're still violating copyright if you're putting up somebody else's work on YouTube. So if you're posting that music video or you're putting the lyrics to music video on YouTube and you write in the no copyright intended, violation intended, that's not going to save you. That's still copyright. Whether or not you wrote that you didn't intend to do it. Well, you kind of did. You posted it on YouTube. So just keep that in mind. You don't want to get music for free ever without the chances of paying consequences, unless it's labeled free for reuse. And then anytime you're using copyrighted work, get permission. That's what's going to keep you the safest. Okay, so there was some kind of fun feedback this week, and I appreciated these messages. There is another email that I wanted to share with you all. And this message comes from George, who lives in the Western New York area. And he says, "Hello, Matthew. First off, thanks for the great podcast. By profession, I work in a healthcare, IT, and consulting, do some consulting on the side. But I dabble in ed tech as well. And I love that focus on your podcast. You're filling in for the now defunct Tightwad Tech Podcast. If you ever listen to those guys, you should give them a listen. You'll see there's a lot of parallels to your show. I actually learned about iTalk from those guys back in the day and had lamented its decline. I was thrilled to hear about Veyon, which you mentioned in your last show, and wanted to give it a try. I handle the IT for a small Catholic preschool, and the technology coordinator will be thrilled to hear about this. I'm also on board for the nonprofit EdTech of Western New York. So he goes on and he asked me a little bit about my EdTech center, he was really interested in Veyon, which I brought up in the last couple episodes. And I hope, George, I hope you were able to check out Veyon and get it working on your system. From what I hear, it's much easier to install than iTalk was. And George has a group nonprofit called EdTech of Western New York. You can check out his website, www.edtechwny.org. And his organization has programs for getting schools set up and organized for any technology needs. So a lot of equipment is donated to his school to his organization, and they donate it out to organizations that are in need of technology, anything technology related. And they have a long list of schools and organizations they've helped out. And I was quite impressed that it's been around since the mid 2000s, I think 2006 or 2007. I can't remember off the top of my head. So I sent him an email with what I was doing with my educational technology center in my school. Kind of a long-winded email I sent, just talking about some plans that I had in the future for my district. But he also brought up another cool thing to look at for digital signage. And I believe another listener recommended this a while back. It's called Rise Vision, risevision.com. I have not had a chance to do this, but basically you can use anything from a Raspberry Pi on up and create digital signs, which I have some plans for in the future. So I was glad that George sent that in to me. If you're looking for digital signage, check out that website. They have a good freemium model, and you can pretty much do anything for free, but they do have a pay services as well. Finally, he says, just like to let you know, I got into ham radio. I ended up on the board of our local public access station, and the station has been kind of let go over the last few years. And now what I'd like to do is bring things back up and have the local school district get involved, interesting kids into doing things like a weekly news show of some kind with this station. They had something similar a few years ago. The teacher hasn't been involved, so now they're trying to bring it to back up and running again. And so as far as that goes, I'm trying to do the same thing here with my students. Eventually I'd like to get them podcasting and creating video tutorials and that type of thing. What I would do is if you have those students already put together in a tech group, what I would do is, start showing them some things, start showing them some podcasts, start showing them kids their age who are producing excellent podcasts. And you might have one or two students say, hey, you know what, we should do that here at the school. And with that, let it be their idea. They think they came up with the idea. Sort of guide them into wanting to podcast or wanting to create these video tutorials or wanting to learn, because if they want to do it, they'll make it happen. And that's sort of what I've been doing with my EdTech group, is if the students have interests and they're trying to show me stuff that they want to do, then for instance, graphics design or writing or anything like that, then I just point them in the right direction and I give them the tips along the way to do that. So trying to motivate them to want to do these things, or even in demonstrating, if you do it yourself, just that demonstration, purpose, you'll get them interested. I talked a little bit about ham radio and in my school, and kids got interested with that. What is it? What is it used for? You know, is it still being used? Is it still, is it something I can do? You kind of explain to them, you know, this amateur radio was the internet before the internet existed. You know, that was a way to communicate all across the world, and learn new things, a way to learn electronics for people interested in electronics, a way to build social skills. And the list just goes on and on. there's so much you can learn through things like amateur radio or even public access, you know, stations. So I think it's really great, George, that you sent me this email. And I did send an email back. I never listened to the Tightwad Tech podcast. I did listen to Everyday Linux and the Geek Rant podcast, and I really enjoy their show. They put out some really great information, and I'm hoping that there'll be a new episode coming out soon. I know they're on a little bit of hiatus for the last few weeks, but it doesn't matter if it's a month that goes by or if it's a week or a couple of days. I always enjoy their new podcasts. And if you've never listened to Geek Rant, I would highly recommend that to you. And the old Everyday Linux podcast that Geek Rant sort of replaced. So never listened to Tightwad Tech, but I know those guys are all experts and they all produce great material, and they're a whole lot of fun to listen to. But I definitely appreciate the comments on my podcast and relationship to that podcast. I try to just do my own thing, and I try to come make the best podcast that I can and put out quality material. And sometimes I feel like I ramble. Sometimes I feel like there's a lot of ums and ahs in here. And I actually mentioned this in one of my Patreon posts recently, that that's something I'm working on, trying to get rid of all the ums and ahs. I find the more that I'm stressed in my own personal life, those ums and ahs come out more and more. If I'm having a relatively non-stressful hour or day, then I'm much more adamant about my public speaking skills. And that's the whole reason I'm doing this podcast, is to get better at the public speaking. So George, I really appreciate the email. Sometimes I feel like educational technology stuff might go off on deaf ears and be a topic nobody's interested in. But more and more, I'm getting feedback that people are interested in that topic. So once in a while, I'll come back to those topics. I like to do a wide range of topics, and so I don't get bored doing this, and hopefully listeners don't get bored either. One of those favorite topics, and I can't wait. Just recently, yesterday, they did the static test fire for the Falcon Heavy. That video was incredible to watch, even though it was only about 6 seconds long. Falcon Heavy is about ready to launch finally after 6 months or 6 years or whatever it was. They keep saying 6 months until the next launch. And so Falcon Heavy is going to be launching within the next week or so. I'm super excited about that. So I just get excited about technology stuff, and that's sort of what I want to do here. So I'm going to call it a day, because I have a class coming in here soon. I'm kind of doing this kind of on the spot, because I had three emails that kind of came in really quickly. And just want to say thanks for the feedback, everybody. I really appreciate it. If you'd like to know more about this show, you can go to podnuts.com and check out the MRP Tech Podcast there. You can also check out my website, mrptechreviews.com, which there are some donate buttons there. There is a link to Patreon. There is a Amazon affiliate link. The Amazon, how it works, if you click on the link, buy something from Amazon, it shoots me back something. I've got about 90 days, less than 90 days or so to try that out. We'll see if it works. If I don't get anything from it, I'm not really worried about it. I just thought I'd try the Amazon affiliate and see if anybody would be willing to support me in that way. And anyway, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.